You are the faucet, not the water. All you have to do is get out of the way. The water will come out if you understand your position, which is just you're a faucet. And the beautiful thing about a faucet is that they're shaped in so many different ways, right? Well, I'm shaped a certain way, you're going to be shaped a certain way, but the water is still coming out. And so that's what this whole middle passage is teaching me, is like, Queenette, surrender, surrender, don't push anything, relax into the message.
Welcome to Messaging for Impact, a podcast hosted by Queenette Wobedo, founder of Profitable Coach Institute. Queenette guides you on growing your business and sales confidence. Join Queenette as she dives deep into the world of messaging mastery, helping you attract the right audience, enroll paying clients, and create a lasting impact with your message. Get ready to enroll the right fit clients effectively and efficiently, while still having plenty of space in your calendar for family and fun. It's time to transform your messaging and generate clients on demand. And remember, you are an unstoppable queen.
Hello, everybody. How are you? So happy to have this conversation. Today's topic is called You Are Already Good Enough. You are already good enough. So this is a concept that I wish I understood. And it's so funny because I feel like I probably understood it years ago when I first started my business, because I have a program called You Are Enough Academy. It's so funny. It's like, it was so good. It was an academy where I led women through a group coaching process, and it's like 12 major lessons with 12 journal assignments, 12 challenges, 12 teachings. And I talked about the self-love deficit, which I don't think, maybe I can get into a little bit here, but I just feel like you are already good enough is something that I feel like we as women who are called to make a greater impact should contemplate, should ponder on, should just think about and meditate on and see how that sits in your spirit. This idea that you are already good enough, like, what would you do if you knew you were already good enough, like right now? How would you walk if you knew you were already good enough right now? How would you show up in spaces if you knew you were already good enough right now? Let's say someone called you to speak. How would you speak on stage if you already knew you were good enough? How would you show up on a podcast if you already knew you were good enough? What are some of the things you would post if you knew that you were already good enough and that everything you do moving forward from today onward is good enough the way it is right now? And that our only duty is to get out of the way. So as I shared with you, I'm in the middle passage season, and you know, there's a big tug of war between what my ego wants to do and what my soul is called to do. The tug of war is decreasing little and little, and I just have to be honest about, I'm so proud of myself for being so brave in the season. Number one, for even discussing it publicly. It's so funny because sometimes people see you as confident, and that's fair and that's fine. It's not that I'm not, but these are some of the areas where I have not necessarily shown all the vulnerability, especially when it comes to transitions and the middle, like the, I'm calling it the middle passage, right? And we all have our middle passage, right? Which is when you know you're being called to make a greater impact. You know you're being called to your higher self, your next highest level. And yet the ego is like, but will it work? But is that the way to do it? But I haven't seen it done that way. But no one talks about it that way. But no one is doing this. That means it has to be wrong. But what if they don't believe me? Or what if this is wrong? Or what if I piss people off? Or what if they don't understand? Blah, 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 blah. Like one of my, a few other things that I'll share with you that I had a hard time with was that I grew up as a Christian, obviously, right? Like my mother would take us to church for 6 hours a day when she was here in America. Like we would be, and not a day, 6 hours on Sunday. We would be in church for like 6 hours. She doesn't play, like her and my aunt didn't play. So I grew up a Christian and everything like that. But I remember going to those types of churches, right? It was the, I don't know how, what, like what you would label it, but it was those churches where if you wore a certain outfit, you were looked down upon. If you wore earrings, if you wore nail polish, if you wore lipstick, whatever you did, it was looked down upon. That was one type of church we went to also, right? And so they were always judging, like they were judging young girls. They were assuming young girls were doing things. What I remember about church was always negative. Like you would go in there and immediately think that you were doing something wrong, like you were a sinner. It was like embedded in our subconscious that we were already sinners, we were not good enough, and that we could just like hope and pray that God loved us. Like it was just this kind of like, you are already wrong, you are already sinning, and you better pray that you're forgiven. So so funny, as I'm saying this out loud, I didn't realize how toxic it was. If you think about that, imagine being in a relationship with someone and you are always wrong. Can you think about someone that like that? You are always wrong. Everything you do is wrong. You are assumed that you're doing something wrong. So you walk around on eggshells like, Jesus, am I doing something wrong? You start questioning yourself. That's super toxic to me, right? So I remember once I started my business and learning more about personal development, spirituality, how the laws of the universe works, how they're absolutely in alignment with what I read in the Bible, without all the judgment and condemnation and trying to like reconcile it all and make it make sense to me in a way that was very useful and practical. And, listening to other people share about what they do in their religion. I have a friend who's Muslim and she shares what they do. And I'm like, everybody's saying the same thing. Everyone is saying the same thing, minus one or two things that are, if you look at the one or two things, they're not even, in my opinion, things that are like, I wouldn't say a deal breaker, but they're so minor that people will kill over it. And I'm like, the fact that you will kill over it should already tell you that it's wrong. You know what I mean? And so I'm sharing that to say that just being standing 10 toes down. And when I say God, I know I'm talking about God. When I say the laws of the universe, I know exactly what I'm talking about. When I say Mother Nature, when I say the spirit, the soul, I know what all of those things mean to me. And I don't even have to explain it, but I know for me, that was a tug of war. Because I was like, well, Christians would be like, oh, who cares? So what? If you don't agree with me, so what? Like, that's it. Delete, block, whatever you have to do. But for me to hide this awakening that I have, this knowing that I have, this being able to say God, the universe, and not feel like, oh, the Christians or whatever. I have two of my pastors that follow me on Facebook. And I have moments where I wanted to say a curse word in my post. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to say it because I don't want them to get the wrong idea. And I don't want to be disrespectful. And I'm like, oh my God, just recently, I think over the last 2 years, I'm finally like, all right, if there's a curse word that wants to come out, shit, I'm going to say it. I'm going to post it. And it's so funny because one of my pastors, he liked one of my posts and it had a curse in it. And it wasn't like he's liking the curse. I think what he's liking is self-actualization. You know what I mean? Like he and I have great conversations, right? Over WhatsApp and stuff like that. Like it's the self-actualization. It's somebody being fully who they are. And I have to say, I am so proud of Queenette. I hope you are proud of yourself. I am so proud of myself. I have to be honest. Yes, it's the middle passage, but the fact that I'm walking through it and talking about it lets me know that the shame that I used to carry, the shame that I used to have around these types of things and the judgment and all this shit, like it's just, you know what I'm saying? You grow up already feeling ashamed. And then now you're supposed to be the person that steps into this to their higher self and the shame automatically goes away. Well, how's that, right? Yeah, there's work that has to be done, right? So going back to the topic about you are already good enough, this is the fundamental truth, right? And what that means is we were already born with the personality, with the gift, the spiritual gifts, time has changed, but with the purpose that will make the bigger impact we're all seeking to make, right? So if you are already born with the gift, with the personality, with the tools, if you will, right? Then that means the only thing that has to be wrong, and I put that in quotes, with you not stepping into what you should be stepping into or where you're being called to is that you think that you're not ready yet. You're waiting for Oprah to reach out. You're waiting for someone, quote unquote, big, a guru or influencer to say, hey, can you join me on this and that before you know that you're good enough? You're still proving that you're good. You're trying to prove that you're good enough. And it's almost like, no. The starting point is I am good enough right now. And from the space of I'm good enough right now, how do you show up? What do you say? What is the truth? What's the highest version of yourself? What is the healthiest version of yourself? And what is the honest version of yourself? What does that look like right now with you knowing that you are already good enough, right? And so I think that that's something that we really have to look into is just this idea that we have to get out of our own way. Like, finally understanding that I'm a channel, right? And I think that's what's allowing me to walk through this middle passage in a way that is so graceful, so beautiful. So relaxing for myself, very healthy for my nervous system and everything like that. Because I finally am coming to terms with the fact that I'm a channel and I did not call myself. You did not call yourself. So if you're a channel, right? I've heard it said this way before. You are the faucet, not the water, right? So all you have to do is get out of the way. The water will come out if you understand your position, which is just you're a faucet. And the beautiful thing about a faucet is that they're shaped in so many different ways, right? Well, I'm shaped a certain way, you're going to be shaped a certain way, but the water is still coming out. And so that's what this whole middle passage is teaching me is like, Queenette, surrender, surrender, don't push anything, right? Relax into the message, relax into already knowing that you're enough. Relax and know that the message will flow. I remember when I first started, I wrote the first episode, I feel like I wrote an outline. I think the first two episodes, and after that, I was like, Queenette, that's not what you want to do. You want to speak freely from your heart. You've always said this. You want to speak freely from your heart. Why would you now create a podcast that it's designed for your pure freedom and creativity in terms of speaking into the lives of people and now start with the outline stuff? You know, you channel this stuff. You know, you just want to talk to people. You know, you just want to speak. So then just do that. Stop with the protocols. Stop with the strategy. Stop with the must be this way. Stop with the this is the responsible way to do it. Responsibility really is about getting out of the way, knowing that it's not by my mind anyway. So why are you trying to make it by your might? And this is what I mean by the tug of war between my ego and my soul. This is why it's a non-stop process. This is what I mean, right? It's like, okay, I wrote down the title, right? The first title I wrote down was get out of your own way. You are already good enough. Then I put a box around you are already good enough because that's enough for the title, right? And then I could just talk about the rest because the rest I already know because I didn't call myself to talk about this. Someone, God called me to talk about this, called me to eradicate self-doubt, called me to have these conversations with women who are here to make a bigger impact and to help them get out of their own way, to overcome self-doubt and do the thing, right? So if that's my calling, there's nothing to learn. We're always learning and growing, right? But there's nothing else for me to go and get. This stuff I know, like the back of my head in terms of that's just who I am because that's how God created me, right? Created me. So I just get to be who I am. How freaking easy is that? And this is what I want to invite you to, is to look at how you can just surrender. And I'm not saying this because it's easy. I'm saying this because when you finally start recognizing that you are literally not in control, not from I can't do anything and a, oh no, I don't have what it takes. No, when I'm talking about surrender, what I'm meaning is look at your life and look at the grace on your life. Look at how you didn't get yourself here by yourself. Now, I know you might say, well, I put in a lot of work. Yeah, you did, but look at the graces. Go look, make a list of all the time grace. You receive grace in so many different things, right? Just look upon the time you receive grace in so many. I remember one of the main things I will never forget is how I told the story before, I had applied to graduate school in counseling, right? And I went for the group interview. It was a small group interview for grad school to become a school counselor. And in a small group interview, I did really, really well. I got accepted. I registered for my classes and had a conversation with my uncle. And he was like, listen, I think you should do nursing because nursing is a safe job right now. You know, there's a lot of nurses. They're always looking for nurses, but school counselors, they have like maybe one or two in a building, right? And so the chances of getting a job as a school counselor is going to be harder. So why don't you do nursing? So at that time, clearly, I didn't know myself, right? So I dropped the classes. And I registered for pre-nursing classes, abnormal physiology, what's that, like the muscle class. And I registered for chemistry, sat in those classes. And I looked and I was like, Quina, what are you doing here? You hate this stuff. You don't care about this stuff, right? You don't care. And the teacher, the professors, they were so in their zone. You can tell they were born for this. Like they were so excited. They were so passionate. I'm like, look at the passion on them. I hate this stuff. So I didn't even have the guts to go to the chairman at the time and say I was dropping the classes because, again, I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. Here I am, especially those of you that are achievers. You have to get things right the first time. I have a post on that on Instagram, how trying to get things right the first time is actually toxic. And so I was so ashamed. I'm like, how do you go to somebody after you've gone through the group interview, they told you how well you did, you got accepted, got registered for the classes and then dropped them without even going to her and saying, listen, I had a change of heart, blah, blah, nothing. I was so embarrassed, right? So long story short, I got through the semester and I was just like, Quina, we have to go back. We have to go back and beg. We literally have to go back and beg this lady to please let me back in the program, you know, the following semester. And see if you can get in. So one day after I got the courage, I was like, Quinette, go get ready to beg because you're going to have to get back in because this is not your portion. This is definitely not what you were called to do. So let's go and ask, right? So I remember going in the building. I was walking down the hall and I was just like, I think her room is like B20 or B19. I forget now. And I was like at like the beginning and I was just like counting down slow motion, like, oh my God, now we're at 3. Oh my God, door 4, door 5, like whatever, just counting down slow motion. So I get to her door, her office entrance, and there's a secretary that sits in the front before you can get into her office, right? So I peep my head in and I said, and I pointed like, hey, is she there? Like, you know, is she there? And before the lady can answer, like saying yes, Dr. DeVoe, that's her name, came out and was like, Queen Nat, just like that. Hi. And I said to her, and I, as soon as I got there, I was like, Dr. DeVoe, you know, I'm so sorry. This is what happened. And I started to go nonstop trying to explain myself. And she put her both hands up and she was like, stop. Queen Nat, stop. Just like that. And she said, Queen Nat, forgive yourself. Queen Nat, forgive yourself. And I looked at this, I looked this woman in her eyes and I was like, forgive myself. And I just looked to see, like, did she mean what she was saying? And I just took like a breath of fresh air. And I was just like, that's it. She was like, we would love to have you in the fall. We loved your interview. You are welcome back to register again and things like that. When I tell you, this brings me to tears still today. When I tell you, that moment healed years and years and years of shame, not forgiving myself, helping me realize that mistakes are truly miracles. I have a journal called Mistakes Are Miracles. It healed so many things within seconds. This is why I believe in transformational work. I believe transformational work does not take centuries. I believe that we are all gifted in a way that when we share our truth, when we share what we've understood, that we can literally help people like reduce the time it takes to transform and heal. In that moment, so many things were healed. I said, oh my God, I'm on the list of people who get to be forgiven. Oh my God, I get to just forgive myself just like that. Oh my God, it gets to be easy. Like I could just register. Like I don't have to pay any debts. I don't have to repent for my sins. I don't have to beg God for forgiveness. I don't have to pay for 40 days and 40 nights. Like you're just saying, come back. We would love to have you. We loved your interview. Like that's it. No punishment, no shame, no rejection, just pure grace and pure love. You cannot tell me. You cannot tell me that there has not been grace over my life. And so what I want you to look at, right, is there has been so many moments of grace over your life. And I want you to look again. Sometimes we don't look enough. Look at how much grace has been over your life and over getting you here where you think it's been by your minds. It has not been by your minds. Have you put in some work? Absolutely. But let me tell you something. Even the work you knew to do was still grace. It was still bathed in grace. Think about it, right? How would you know what the next step is? How would you know to read this book? How would you know to look at the sermon? I've met so many amazing people who have spoken into my life, who has said things that have changed my life, changed the cells in my body. And instantly, this is why I believe in transformation. Like, it's the instant transformation, the healing, that the cracking open of the heart that just unlocks and heals things, like in real time, right? And so, all that to say, please look again at the grace over your life and know that you're not doing this by your might anyway. And so the work for those of us called to make a greater impact is to surrender and look at where you're being called to now. Where are you being led to now? What is the assignment in this season? And look at our lives as assignment so we don't get stuck in yesterday, thinking that yesterday's provision and what you did yesterday is what's gonna create the future. And that to be scared that when it's time to shift into your new assignment, that you are like, oh my goodness, I cannot do it. I worked so hard to get here. How, if I switch, what will happen if I did it? No, you're not the one in control anyway. So the more you surrender, the more you are led, and the more that when you open up your heart, right, you can, the things that are supposed to come out will naturally come out of your pores. Because again, this is the most, I mean, I say this over and over because this helps me so much. You did not call yourself. If you didn't call yourself, you're not like, if you didn't call yourself, that means whoever called you have already anointed, appointed you with the things, the tools, the personality, the vibe, whatever you need to get the job done, to fulfill your calling, right? And so if that's the case, why not get out of the way and allow the person that called you to do the work? That's where I'm at right now. The pivotal passage is about Quinette. Continue to get out of the way. Let me tell you something. That's every day. This is why I meditate. I journal. I pray every day in the morning, because I'm needing this more than I'm needing anything else right now, is the consistent surrendering. And so surrender is practice. You know how I go to the gym? I spend hours in the gym doing my weight training things, like vibing out, right? Surrendering is practice, is building a muscle. So right now in this middle passage, I am building my surrendering muscles. I'm not going to be the one to tell you that, oh my God, I've just surrendered and I'm free and blah, blah, blah. No, I'm telling you, it's every single day is a tug of war between the ego and the soul, is a tug of war between being a person who can go and get it and make it happen, and then surrender into the one that allows it to happen, right? The one that allows the message to come through, right? Between controlling the topic and letting the topic control everything, right? Between just opening my heart and telling my story and the truth versus creating and just saying it the way I think it needs to be said, right? So what I'm telling you is I'm practicing, and please, right? Suggestion, if you will, would be practice this and don't assume it's supposed to just come because you believe in God and you believe in the laws of the universe and it's supposed to just happen. No, we get to practice, and practicing is what strengthens these muscles. And don't assume that you're doing it wrong. There's nothing to get wrong. It's just a journey, and you'll get there anyway. Hey, that's the thing. You'll get there anyway if you just continue to surrender, and surrender the best way you know how. Okay. So that is it for this podcast. I hope that you continue to look on your life and look at all the grace. Look at the grace that has been over your life. And as you look at it, please, I hope it brings you to tears so you can remember that you are being led. You are being guided, sometimes kicking and screaming, but we're being led and we're being guided. And that we are going to be fine. You're going to be fine. You're going to make an impact. And to be honest with you, you are already making an impact. This is why I always say that your personality is your purpose. We just don't let our personality come out because we think that it's not good enough. We say all these things and it's like, nope, moving forward, my personality is my purpose. I walk with my purpose no matter what my assignment is. So no matter what you do for a living right now, you're working in purpose. And then as you transition and change and upgrade and elevate and evolve, you're still walking in purpose. Your purpose has never left you. If you look properly, if you look again, and I'll probably share this on another podcast, your purpose have never left. You've always been on purpose. Just ask the people around you. They get your purpose all the time, right? Not perfectly, but they get your purpose, because your purpose is what you do that feels like a gift to other people, right? Is what you do that feels like a gift to other people. When you walk in the room, when you are being you, what does it feel like when people look at you, when people are around you, right? What are they feeling from you? I remember I was in DC for my daughter's birthday. This is the last thing I'll say. And my cousin booked a candle making workshop for my daughter. And we went there. And one of the things I loved about the woman that was hosting it was that even though we were making candles, right, she took her time to explain how the candle making process worked. She took her time to play games with us. We had so much fun. I forgot we were there to play candles. We were kind of like in a vortex of like, oh my God, this is so much fun. Sisterhood, having fun, just vibing out. And it felt so good. It felt just so good. And mind you, we're making candles. And so let's just be clear, no matter what your assignment is, and I don't mean just making candles, because it was actually like, I made two because I couldn't even, I was one, but I ended up getting another one because the smells were so good. Oh my gosh, right? And so I say all that to say, it doesn't matter your assignment, right? Your assignment, again, is like the faucet, right? But the water that comes through it, you can just tell this woman was a woman of purpose. You can tell she cared about what she was saying. You know, you can just tell she cared so much and wanted to be with us. It wasn't anything rushing. It was her presence, right? And so you might think like, okay, we're making candles, but her gift, her purpose is still coming through her pores. She can't even help it. It's coming through. And we felt it so moved, right? And so now, you know, we're all friends now and things like that. So what am I saying to you? What I'm saying to you, it doesn't matter what the container, it doesn't matter what your faucet looks like right now, right? What assignment you are in right now, please know and trust that your purpose is always oozing through your pores. You may not see it, but people will see the light in you, right? And the most beautiful part, right, about this whole journey is when you start seeing the light in you, ooh, it gets delicious. When you start seeing your own light and understanding your own light, and then walk in like you understand and you know what your light is. Oh man. Now that to me is heaven on earth. That to me is heaven on earth, right? And not to make this podcast any longer than it needs to be this time, because I'll save it. Because I could talk for 3 hours straight. But just understand that you are already good enough right now. And I wonder, and I want you to imagine and practice what it would be like if you just walked into every conversation knowing that you are already good enough. Every meeting, I'm already good enough. Every post, I'm already good enough. Every conversation, I'm already good enough. With my husband, I'm already good enough. With my children, I'm already good enough. At the gym, I'm already good enough. In my journal, I'm already good enough. I'm already good enough, no matter what. And I walk with grace over my life, because the truth is, I cannot get this journey wrong. Anyway, what would that feel like? What would that look like? That's it. I'll talk to you all soon. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on another insightful episode of Messaging for Impact with your host, Queenette Wobodo. We hope you've gained valuable insights and inspiration to fuel your entrepreneurial journey. If you found today's episode helpful, please consider subscribing, rating, and leaving a review on your preferred podcast platform. Your feedback fuels our mission to empower women entrepreneurs like you. Remember, your message has the power to change lives, starting with your own. Stay tuned for our next episode, where we'll continue to explore the strategies and mindset shifts that will help you leave a lasting legacy through your business. Until then, keep believing in your limitless potential and keep sharing your message for impact.